There's been deadly violence on the streets of Cairo over the weekend. A tourist bus was hit by an improvised explosive device near the pyramids of Giza on Friday night. Three Vietnamese tourists and their Egyptian tour guide were killed, and at least another 10 people were injured. In response, Egyptian police instigated a series of raids and are thought to have killed at least 40 suspected militants. This comes a little over a month after seven Coptic Christians were killed in an attack on a bus in Minya, which is 200 kilometres south of Cairo. That attack provoked a similar deadly response from Egyptian authorities, with 19 alleged militants killed. Timothy Caldas is a non-resident fellow at the Tahrir Institute for Middle East Policy. He's usually based in Cairo. I spoke to him a little earlier from Boston in the US.
Thanks for having me.
Now, this is the first deadly attack targeting foreign tourists in more than a year. Is the timing of this attack and the response significant?
It's not clear right now that the timing has any specific significance. It is consequential to the extent that tourism has been recovering quite well in the last year or so. And so it's definitely a concern to the Egyptian government and as well to a lot of people who work in Egypt. Whether or not the holiday season had any impact on the timings at this time, not really clear. There hasn't been a claim of responsibility. So we don't really know enough about what was behind the attack.
Authorities have certainly responded with a very heavy hand. At least 40 suspects, Egyptian authorities are calling them terrorists, have been killed. There's been a series of raids since the attack on the bus. We're not clear that these individuals are connected to the bus bombing. Instead, the authorities are saying that they were involved in plotting a series of attacks targeting state institutions, as well as tourism, armed forces, police, and Christian places of worship. Now, these sound like pretty significant plans. Why is it that they've been under the radar to this point?
We've had a number of claims by the authorities about raids in which they've killed all of the suspects. And so the trouble with that is that there aren't any suspects to question or gain intelligence from after the fact, or at least none that the public's been made aware of. And so it's really a challenge to verify the veracity of the claims of the state with respect to who these people are and what they were planning. And the last time there was a major attack in Minya, a month or two ago, the authorities also had a raid almost immediately afterwards in which a number of suspects were killed. And the photographs released by the Ministry of Interior were scrutinized by a number of analysts and criticized quite a bit, with them questioning how accurate the government's claims were. There was somebody with a rifle that didn't have a magazine in it. There were some documents in a desert camp that were pristine. And so that might be part of the reason why they haven't directly connected these raids with the attack that took place against the Vietnamese tourists, is that they're trying to avoid similar scrutiny this time around. But to date, we don't really have a mechanism for independently verifying anything the government's told us about it.
You mentioned Minya. You've written actually quite extensively on the plight of Christians in Egypt. And a month ago, seven Coptic Christians were killed in an ambush while they were on their way to a desert monastery in a fairly remote area. A previous attack on pilgrims in 2017 had left 30 dead. And it was just over 2 years ago that 29 worshippers were killed when Cairo's Coptic cathedral complex was bombed. Are authorities doing enough to ensure the safety of worshippers during these important holiday periods?
I think that it depends on which attack we're referring to. For example, the security outside of the cathedral in Alexandria was quite substantial and actually prevented a bomber from entering. And so he set off his device outside the cathedral, and that definitely saved a number of lives. However, there was an attack the same day in Tanta in which the bomb was passed through the church and the metal detector wasn't actually functioning. So there are issues where the security apparatus doesn't seem to be performing at a level you would want to see. With the attack in Minya, for example, it happened on the same road in which the pilgrims were attacked the previous year. So again, this is a place that they know is a target that should have been better secured. And there's a lot of concerns about that. At the same time, the challenge of preventing terrorist attacks in a massive country with a large uninhabited desert area is quite substantial. And I mean, even authorities in around the world do struggle to secure so many public places all the time.
Oh, absolutely. It is an international challenge, of course. But just going to the most recent bombing involving the Vietnamese tour bus, the government's claimed that the bus that was attacked was actually taking a detour, which suggests that something has gone awry. What do we know about that element?
Not necessarily. The place where the bus was attacked was an on-ramp to a major road that is often used going to and from the pyramids. It's not a particularly unusual route. It might be the case that the government's right, that there was a different planned route that the bus driver didn't follow, although to my knowledge the bus driver has denied the claim that he was on a different route. But the thing is, he could have just been trying to avoid traffic if there was a different route and it wasn't moving along. It's definitely, he wasn't in the middle of nowhere. He was taking a very common route to and from the pyramids.
There's also been reports, Timothy, that a hotel in the popular resort area of Sharm el-Sheikh has been using easily identifiable fake bomb detectors at the recommendation of Egypt's security services. And these are sort of magic wand devices that are being used in Iraq and a number of countries. Why would authorities suggest these as a deterrence?
Honestly, I don't know why they would support that. The hotel claims that the Egyptian authorities were the ones that approved the devices. Those devices, unfortunately, continue to be used in a number of countries, despite the fact that they've been widely discredited as fraudulent and ineffective. And it's really concerning to see them deployed anywhere.
In terms of tourism, you mentioned earlier that after the attacks against the foreigners, there has been a comeback. What sort of efforts have the Egyptian authorities been making to get tourism back on track then, to reassure people?
Well, there's been a huge ramping up of security at airports in particular. I flew in and out of Sharm el-Sheikh right before and after the Metrojet attack, just by coincidence. And the transformation almost immediately was quite substantial in just the degree of scrutiny they were using with every single passenger before they were able to pass through to check in or to the airplane. That's continued and been sustained ever since. There's been a dramatic uptick. The intensity of security preparedness and checking of passengers traveling throughout the country. So that's definitely improved quite a bit compared to some of the more lax things we saw in the past. They've also done a number of campaigns to try to attract tourists, international advertising, sponsoring conferences, sponsoring it. they were one of the sponsors at the World Cup this year. They've been trying to up the profile of the country as much as possible and work with travel companies to bring back tourists and to encourage them to offer packages for visiting the country,
and
as well as working with foreign governments to convince them that it's safe to fly to Egypt.
I mean, it's incredibly important for Egypt's economy. How will this latest attack against a tour bus set those efforts back?
It'll depend, I think, to an extent on how the government reacts and how they manage the situation. And that'll affect how both tourists and foreign governments respond to what is taking place and to what kind of security and safe and travel warnings they issue to their own citizens. So we can't be sure. Certainly, any high-profile attack that garners international headlines is going to negatively impact the number of visitors coming to Egypt. It just remains to be seen to what extent.
And just on another issue, what do you think the effect of the decisions recently made by the Trump administration about the withdrawal of troops from Syria and Afghanistan, what sort of effect do you think that's going to have on the region more broadly in terms of the fight against Islamic extremism?
The most obvious and immediate impact is that it's forcing the Kurds to appeal to Assad and reestablish ties with him, as they're afraid of an escalation on the part of the Turkish government. And so he's kind of driven the Kurdish forces in Syria into Assad's arms. There's also concerns about kind of the credibility of U.S. promises with respect to their allies, as a number of European allies were very surprised by the announcement.
Although it was an election promise.
It was an election promise, but it was also, I mean, he made a lot of election promises that haven't come through, and he's done a lot of things out of the blue, and I think this was one of those situations where there were a lot of officials that were telling their allies that there was no intention of doing this, or there was no immediate intention of doing this, and then all of a sudden, without much warning, you see this announcement that seems that it even took the Defense Department by surprise. So that's concerning. I mean, already the credibility of the United States with its allies has been under a lot of strain, particularly given Trump's poor relationship with NATO. So this isn't going to help that.
All right, then. Well, Timothy Kaldos, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Timothy Kaldos is a non-resident fellow at the Tahrir Institute for Middle East Policy. It's 9 minutes to 8:00.